My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to help God's people, comfort them, pray for them, and serve them. Today, we try to do the same. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. We invite you to share this ministry with your friends, family, and neighbors so they may find the hope that we have in Jesus. We also invite you to request our monthly newsletter called A New Song. Each month, the new song contains a classic Bible study and devotional from my dad's writings. To receive a paper or electronic copy of the new song, you may go to our website at cwh.org, call or write to us. A viewer from Ohio recently wrote, "I'm 87 and my sister is 89. We go to early church each Sunday morning and then listen and watch CWH. I just want you to know how much I appreciate you continuing the TV sermons with Pastor Salem, even though he has gone to heaven. He makes everything so easy to understand. And I really enjoy the new song that I receive from you each month." In our program today, we will hear from Pastor Salem on five principles that will help us face situations in our lives. In his message, Guidelines for Godliness, God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to have a service today. We're going to be preaching about guidelines for godliness, or we could make it, how to be a better Christian. And I'm sure all of us would like to be a better Christian, so there are some suggestions that the Bible gives us, some guidelines the Bible gives us, all coming out of the Bible, and so just stay with us. And if you're not a Christian, just stay with us also, because before we're done, maybe you'd like to be one. Well, we're reading from Psalm 118, beginning with the fifth verse. "I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me on a high, large place. The Lord is my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you are such a great God and that you are mindful of us and you are interested in us. And if we turn to you, you will help us and guide us. So we put everything into your hands and we have this service today in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan's going to sing Walking in Sunlight. God bless you, Jan.
Heaven.
Well, thank you, Jan, and that is so true. If you have Jesus, you're walking in sunlight. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have troubles and trials because, brother, they're all over the place. But some of the happiest, most glorious people in the Christian life I've known have been shut-ins or those who are, maybe they have cancer, maybe they have some problems, hard problems. But it doesn't matter what we face. If we have Jesus with us, they're going to be walking in the sunlight all the way. And someday we'll get to heaven. And then the troubles and trials of life will be past. They'll all be gone, and we'll be with the Lord forever. So I just pray that you've opened your heart to Jesus. And if not, just stay tuned and open your heart to the Lord as we bring the message. But before the message, we have some letters. And these letters, we really enjoy them. I tell you, we read every letter we get. And if it's a spiritual question, then we'll answer that. Now, I get some questions on politics, and I don't get into that. I don't get right nor left or the middle because I got something more important than politics. I'm talking about the soul, the eternal soul. And long after politics are gone, that soul's going to be here, and it's going to be in heaven or it's going to be in hell. And you decide you have a soul, and you decide where it goes. Nobody can decide for you. You can't have your wife vote for you and do it by proxy. You have to decide. And if you say, yes, I want to go to heaven, then you ask Jesus to come in and take away your sin, and he'll clothe you in his righteousness because there can't be any sin in heaven. But if you don't want Jesus and you're going to go on your own way, then you're going to face a Christless eternity, and God have mercy on your soul. And that's why the Christian worship hour, that's why we carried on now for about 38 years. I don't know. I lost count. But we do the same old story over and over. Got to have Jesus. Got to have Jesus. Well, let's look at some of these letters. This is Harrisburg, South Dakota. And this is a gentleman that writes, "Hi, Christian worship hour, pastor and crew. Thank you so much for being my church. I often question my faith. Not that I doubt believing, but why would God want me?" Think of that. I think we've all thought that way. Why would God want me? So I remember a fellow came up to a pastor one time. He says, "Well, you know, Jesus took 12 disciples, and 11 of them were genuine sterling silver. And one of them was Judas, the son of perdition. Why did he choose Judas?" And the pastor says, "Oh, I can give you a question that's harder than that." "Oh, yeah? Yeah. Why would Jesus choose me?" And that we all feel the same way because we're all rotten sinners, every one of us. And, "Oh, you don't think your sins are so bad? Would you, oh, supposing you have you come tonight and we'll have a big screen down at the theater downtown, and we'll show every thought you ever had." How many would take that? I wouldn't. And so we are all sinners. Come to Jesus. Why would he pick me? I don't know. But I know that he did pick me, and I answered. I know that. 10 years old. 85 years, 86 years ago. Another letter is from Nova Scotia, Canada. "I watched your TV broadcast here in rural Nova Scotia for the first time Saturday. I was so blessed and encouraged by your straight and true presentation of the gospel, especially in the sad, evil society the world has become today. If you could send me the Bible study on 7 reasons why I know I'm going to heaven, which I thought I might be able to share with the seniors and friends where I'm moving. I want to live and serve him for whatever time I have left on this earth. God bless you and your ministry. Love in Christ." And so here's a lady in Nova Scotia. She's moving to a new place, and she wants to witness for the Lord. And she wants to give a little paper and a little Bible study we have on 7 reasons why I'm going to go to heaven. And if you would like to get a copy of this, you can write to us. And I'll give you the address right now. You can put it down so you won't forget. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. 7 reasons I know I'm going to heaven. And they're all out of the Bible, all scripture. And we'll be glad to send it free and postpaid. Mitchellville, Iowa. I said the sinner's prayer. I'm having a lot of health problems. And so here's somebody that came to the Lord. And I'll tell you why she came to the Lord. Because somebody preached the Bible. We preached the Bible. We told her what God says and how to be saved. And you know how we could do it? Because you prayed and you gave. You know, we can't do it without you and you can't do it without us. But together, we can send the gospel over the whole wide world. And how many are coming to Jesus? We're going to know someday. Not now. But when we get over there, we will. And won't that be a multitude? Won't that be a grand time to see those people that were lost would have been in hell, but now they're in heaven because you gave and you prayed. Here is Dallas, Texas. Words cannot express how grateful I am to you for your weekly program that I watch on Daystar. Thank you. I am a single mother who at times experiences severe loneliness and depression, but your program lifts my spirit. Pray for me. Here's a single mother. And I'm going to tell you, I've worked with some of these people, single mothers, and they have an awful load to carry. And they can't do it unless Jesus helps them. But a lot of them don't know Jesus. Some of them don't know Jesus. And that's why we need to pray. Now, here's this lady in Dallas, Texas. All over the world, you can take your little pad and write that down. I'm going to pray for that dear lady. And then you pray for her. I can't give her name, of course. But you don't need to know her name. She's a single lady in Dallas. And she has having some trials and troubles. You pray for her. And God will bless you for it. And he'll answer your prayers. And he'll lift up her spirits and help her along the way, so that she can face the issues of life. Here's a one from Roundup, Montana. I am in Roundup, Montana in jail. I'm a backslidden Christian. I have accepted Jesus into my heart and have repented of my sinful ways. I'm once again right with God. And you know, that's it. I don't care what your sin is. And you may be a Christian and sin, because Christians sin just like anybody else. But when you confess that sin in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And maybe you've been a Christian for a good number of years. Maybe you've been a pastor. We got a letter from a pastor's wife, way off in sin. She says, I don't know if God will ever forgive me. Well, I can tell you that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin, that whosoever will believe on the Son will be saved. Whosoever. There are no exceptions. Everybody can come. You can come. And so here's this young man, and he's come back to the Lord. Now he goes on with his letter. I'm once again right with God. I watched your show this morning and was very blessed. My mom has watched for you for years. She's in Hamilton, Montana. This morning, as I watched, I not only felt a closeness with God, but with my mother. Isn't that beautiful? You see, that's Spirit of God. And they can touch hearts, and they're both listening to the same service, same songs, same message. And here he says, I felt not only felt a closeness with God, but with my mother. And so that's what we do. We ought to pray for those in prison. They have a heart, they have a soul and a spirit like anybody else, and they can come to Jesus. And we get letters from them all the time, and we send literature to them, and we correspond with them. One prison, one federal prison in the mid-states. We have heard from 14 different people that are inmates there in that prison. And so we're happy we can do it. And when you make your gift, you help us, because most of these people don't have money. They don't have much. Once in a while, one of the prisoners will send a little gift. And I always think of the widow's mite, because when that widow, Jesus said, you know, the widow's mite, she put in it would be about a penny. And she had two mites, and she put them in. And you know what Jesus said? He was watching what she put in. Do you know that Jesus watches the offering plate? Now, the pastor wouldn't dare watch the offering plate. They'd shoot him. Or the deacons, they'd do something to them. God watches the offering plate all the time. You know why he does? Because it shows how much we love him. We don't give much. We don't love much. Well, you say, I don't have much to give. The widow gave 2 mites, which make a farthing. And that was Jesus said. Jesus said that she wouldn't eat till the next day. That was all her living. And they got paid by the day. She'd have to work another day to get her some bread. And so here's this dear soul. And he's in the prison. And we pray for them. And when you make your gift, you help us so we can minister to them. It's just a pleasure that we can do that. Women's prisons and men's prisons alike. Here's North Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. I live in North Vancouver, British Canada. I've never been very religious, but recently started watching and enjoy your show. I've been hearing voices now for years and have turned to alcohol and cigarettes, and your show helps me. Show me the way to the truth and the light. Isn't that beautiful? So the Holy Spirit, here's a man. He's struggling. He's got alcohol. He's got cigarettes and whatnot. Doesn't matter. And he's adrifting from God, and he's searching his way, and he's on the way to Christ's eternity. And so he writes to us. Now, we send a little booklet on how to accept the Lord, and a letter also, and a stamped self-addressed envelope so he can write back, and we'll correspond with him. We'll send him more literature as it goes along. But it's just a joy to be able to minister to these people. And it's because you had a part. You helped. You made it possible. Here's West Texas. And he didn't have a town on the envelope on his letter. And it didn't have and it wasn't stamped in such a way I could read it. But I just like that. West Texas. I wonder if that's a very big place. Anyway, we won't get into that. I'll get letters from Texas, believe me. But that's good. Send money with your letter, and we'll just write all you want. I look forward to Saturday evening so I can watch and hear you preach the good news about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you, your brother in Christ from West Texas. And so now we sent, we didn't write to this fellow because we didn't have his address. It's West Texas. So we'd better pray for him. And one more I want to share is Thief River Falls, Minnesota. I'm a new and struggling Christian of 1 year. You brought me to my salvation. Thank you and God for that. And he should have put on there, thank you and God and all the workers and everybody that prayed and everybody that gave, because we're all had a part. We couldn't do it without your help. And so you need to pray, dear Lord, is this a ministry that I should be sharing? Should I help them? Do you want me to give to this ministry? There's a lot of ministries on the radios and television and churches, and many of them are very good. And so you can't give to all of them. So you have to say, dear Lord, do you want me to give to this ministry, the Christian Worship Hour? And if he says yes, then you say, well, how much should I send? And then you make it out to the Christian Worship Hour. And you send it to the Christian Worship Hour, Post Office Box 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And here's the magic of this internet. Now, I'm telling you, the internet business, I don't even do it. And I don't get near it because I'm 96 years old. And I was raised when we didn't even have television. And now they got all of this, all of the electronics. And it just leaves me in the dust. But it is so wonderful you can send money over the internet. Now, let me tell you how. You get the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you'll see our website. It's a brand new website. It's just beautiful. And the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then they'll say donate. And you punch that thing. And then it'll say PayPal, and you put down however you want, anywhere in the world, and we'll get it in United States currency, and we'll use it to pay for radio and television time. So we need to hear from you and love to hear from you. Now, if you want to get the new song, that's a little Bible study we have. And it's How to Be Beautiful. And we're not selling a bunch of things to send to you. If you send a gift, we'll send you some powder or something like that. How to Be Beautiful. I'll tell you what the sermon's about. It's about people in the Bible that are beautiful. Abraham, for instance, in his faith, see? And we look at all these people, the beautiful part of these people, and we pattern our life after that. But we really pattern our life after Jesus, don't we? He's the most beautiful of all. And so that's a little Bible study. You can get that. Now, if you make a gift, I forgot to tell you, we're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, how much we get and how we spend it. Every penny. You'd think they give us a little leeway. Oh, no. Oh, no. They just ride you to death. But we're happy because we're all above board, have nothing to hide. Come and look. You can come and look, too, if you want to. So you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Boxes 2002, we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now I'm going to pray, Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord leads. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you for your ministry of music. We're reading from Romans chapter 12 today, and you can return to Romans chapter 12. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Bangladesh. Every week, we pray for our brothers and sisters in one of these persecuted countries, and it seems like all over the world they're being persecuted. Being persecuted like they've never been before. More dying for Jesus now, Christians dying for Jesus now, I think, than in any time since the church was established, or since the church was instituted by God himself at the day of Pentecost. So we're praying for Bangladesh. We want to read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to drop down to verse 9. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then to verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, overcome evil with good. So let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you have given us the Bible and that you spelled out how we need to live as believers, as Christians. And as we look at this passage, we pray, Lord, that you'll show us how we can live more like Jesus, that we can be more godly, that we can be more Christ-like. And by your wonderful Spirit, just help us to draw closer to you and become more dedicated. But Lord, we know that there's some who don't know you, and they're saying in their heart, I would like to live the Christian life because I know it has high morals, it has a lifestyle that's honoring and helpful to people. I'd like to be a Christian. Well, dear Lord, they can't serve you until they have you in their heart, and they won't have the strength to live up to these things unless they have you in their heart. So in our service today, may many open their heart to Jesus, be born again, and start the Christ-like walk. And then, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Bangladesh. I know that many of them, Lord, have been put to death, and many of them have been deprived of home and some of food and clothing, and they're cast about as sheep in the wilderness. But I know that you love them, and I know by your Spirit you are with them. And help them to know that we are so proud of their stand for the Lord. And help them to know that they encourage us and they help us to stand for the Lord. So they have not died in vain. Their message is given, and someday they'll be rewarded for their labors. So bless them. And now bless us as we have this service today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hank is going to sing. He's going to sing by request, the Lord's Prayer. So God bless you, Hank.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our day. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
As we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power.
Well, thank you, Hank. God bless you, and I sure appreciate Hank's dedication and his singing. Been ever since we started Christian Worship Hour, he's been in there singing. You can always count on him. And I think most all of our workers here today have been with us about all the time we've been going, long timers, and they're giving their time, a lot of them giving their time, dedicating it to you, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know there's going to be a reward for them, and I appreciate them so much. And we're talking today about guidelines for godliness. In other words, how to become a better Christian, really. And you know, when we accept the Lord Jesus, we're born again. And we are poor lost sinners, and we're dead in our sins. And so God convicts us of our sins. And we know that we can't go to heaven if we have any sin, not one speck. We got to be perfect. And so how are we going to be perfect? And so Jesus comes, and he goes to the cross and pays for our sins, and pays for all of our sins. And when we accept Jesus as our sacrifice, accept him, we receive his righteousness, and we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. And that means when we come to the pearly gates, they're going to swing wide open. They can't resist. They can't deny Jesus Christ, and we are in Christ. When we accept Jesus, we are in Christ, and we're clothed in his righteousness, and we're perfect and we're spotless. Now, of course, as we live this life, then we have to be careful, because when we sin, we don't lose our salvation. You never lose your salvation. John 10, verses 28 and 29. But when we sin, we go to Jesus, and he says, if we confess our sins, he'll forgive us. John 1, 9. And so when we walk day by day, at the close of the day, we ask him to forgive us for any thoughts we've had or anything like that, and then walk with him and trust in him. Well, then we come to the Bible, and we want to live a wonderful Christian life for the Lord. And so God gives us some principles in the Bible. He gives us some guidelines. And, of course, the Bible was written 2,000 years ago, but it's the living word of the living God. But they didn't have television, so it can't talk about television. And it can't talk about shortwave radio and some of these things. And so what does God do? He gives us what we call a principle. And it's a principle that'll cover anything as long as the world stands, because it's the living word of the living God. And these principles cover every conceivable situation that a believer might be in. And when we're tempted and we come against certain things, we just go to the Lord and we trust in him and we rely upon these principles. And there are many of them in the Bible. I'm going to give five of them today. And so then and these principles hold us. We don't hold those principles. They hold us. They surround us. See, if I'm holding on to a certain principle and I come to a temptation and I know I shouldn't do it, but I don't hold on tight enough, I can slip and sin. But if that principle engulfs me, and like just a girdle around us, and then it'll hold us. And when we come to face some sin or something that we know is wrong, but we sin against light so many times, well, when we come to those things we know wrong, that principle holds us and we don't submit, and it helps us to live a Christian life. Now, I want to start right out by saying no one's perfect. I talked to a fellow one time. He says, well, he was so happy he hadn't sinned for 3 days. Well, Lord have mercy. You know, the poor soul. He didn't even know what he's talking about. He might as well talk about flying to the moon. And so we sin a thought. Jesus said, if we have thoughts of envy in our heart, thought of lust in our heart, or deceitfulness, it's a sin. You say, but I didn't do anything. I just thought it. That's all it takes, just to think it. So that's why we confess our sins every day. So then God gives us five principles. The first one, the first principle he gives us, and that is always remember our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm talking to Christians all the way through on these principles. These are for Christians. When we accept Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit dwells within us. And when we talk to them, they have to be born again. And we don't have the Holy Spirit until we're born again. And with those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ and follow Jesus Christ. And sometimes I hear people say, well, there's a spark of divinity in all of us. There's a little bit of God in every person. And even people like Hitler There's a spark of God in him, a spark of divinity. Now, of course, nothing could be farther from the truth. That's totally false, because the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8, the opening verses, he says, we were dead in trespasses and sins. That's it. Spiritually dead. Physically, that might have a lot of life, maybe too much life. You're living it up. But anyway, you have a spiritual life and you have a physical life. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Well, that means let the dead who are spiritually bury those that are dead physically. See? So those that are dead spiritually. And it says we were dead in trespasses and sins. And so then if you're dead, you don't have life, not even one spark of life. When the doctor comes and he takes your pulse and there is no pulse, he said, that person is dead. But if there's a spark of pulse, the slightest pulse, he will say, this person is living. It isn't a corpse. It's a living being. And so you can declare, here, there's not a spark of divinity in any of us. There is no good thing in us. God tells us we are all like, our works are like filthy rags that are good for nothing but cast away. And so we're dead in our sins. But when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us in the form of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit joins us, and we become spiritually alive. Now the key verse, and write this down because it's a good verse to look at, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Paul says we are all baptized. Now he's talking to Christian people that are born again, accepted Jesus Christ. He says we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and made all given of one spirit to drink, of one spirit to drink. Now, so you have the Jew and the Greek. They never got along. They were worlds apart, see? Or the slave or the free. One has freedom and one doesn't. It doesn't make any difference. When we accept Jesus Christ, we're baptized by the Holy, by God, into the body of Christ, by the Holy Spirit, into the body of Christ. And so that's when Paul's writing. He says, we're not all hands and feet and eyes. One is an eye, one is an ear, one is an internal organ, and so on. But we're all a part of the body of Christ. So here you have a sinner, and he's going on the way to hell, and he's going to be put into the body of Christ, which is perfect. And how you do that? The Holy Spirit, he calls it baptized, he takes us and he puts us in, he cleanses us and puts us in the body of Christ. Second, 1 Corinthians, I have people praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, you were baptized with the Holy Spirit when you accepted Jesus. And then he says, we were given one spirit to drink. And so the Holy Spirit enters our body of the believers. And so Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, whom ye have of God? You are not your own. Says you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're told in the International Version, therefore honor God with your body. And so when we accept the Lord, our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. I remember my mother teaching us that over and over. She had four boys and a girl. And we had hired men. And to be a man, you had to smoke. That's one thing you had to do. Whether kill you, give you cancer and everything else, and lung cancer, kill you. To be a man, you had to smoke. If that wasn't stupid, but that was the thing in my day. Now they prove beyond a doubt. They used to say, oh, tobacco doesn't hurt you. Doesn't hurt you. It's good for you. Well, now they have science that proves that it is destructive. And you young people shouldn't touch liquor and you shouldn't touch tobacco. And I have friends, I have friends that have used tobacco all the time, and I love them because they're my brother in Christ, and I love them. But they're desecrating the temple of God when they do that. And my mother used to say, your body is the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you, and that's right. So she says, don't you touch that liquor. Don't you touch that beer. Don't you touch that tobacco. Don't you get near it, and don't you gamble. And she didn't even let us play marbles for keeps at school because you're trying to get something for nothing from somebody else. I thank God for my mother. I was mad at her when I had to be at school and I couldn't play marbles for keeps. And the reason I couldn't is because I had a sister there, a little sister, and she had eyes as big as a saucer. And if I do play one game, she'd tell mother. And I'd say, no, I didn't. She says, yes, you did. She's my mother, believes my sister every time. So I knew I'd be dead. And so she taught us, and I thank God that she taught us over and over. You new young people ought to be listening to this. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the temple of God. And you're going to be tempted to do everything. Oh, I pray for the young people today. I'm thinking about them more and more all the time because there's so many temptations that you have that we never had to face. And there it is. So the first thing the Bible teaches us, anything that will harm your body, hurt your body, overeating, or whatever it is, you need to be careful about that and work on that because your body is the Holy Spirit's temple, God's temple. Now, the second thing to watch out, second principle is, watch out for that which would enslave you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. This could be translated, I can do anything I want to if Christ has not said no. But some of these things aren't good for me. Even if I'm allowed to do them, I'll refuse to do them if I think they might get such a grip on me that I can't easily stop them when I want to. Evil habits can enslave a person. That person is not free. He's a slave to something. He's controlled by an evil habit. And it's so easy to happen. It starts so slightly, so little. And it gets worse and worse and worse until it destroys us. Don't start down that road. Take the habit of gambling, for instance. It can destroy your life. I know what I'm talking about. I've been in the ministry for 73 years. I can't tell you how many people I've seen lose their homes because they gambled away their things or lost their marriage or lost their family because they gambled. You be smarter than that to be caught in the habit of gambling. Don't be smart. I read a kind of a rather humorous incident that took place some time ago. A sheriff, it confiscated all of the slot machines in his county, all of them. And he said he had a law that he could have, there was a law that supported that for doing that. And the law was, it is unlawful to use steel traps to catch dumb animals. And that's what slot machines does, catches dumb animals. Oh, yes, you're going to win a little money. You'll spend $10,000 to get $1,000. That's not very smart. And this gambling, you need to become a slave to it. I tell you, friends, I've been in it long enough. I know what I'm talking about. I've worked with families. I've wept with families as I see them, how they lived and what happened to them. And so you can become a slave to this money. And then also be careful of the good things. There's some good things you can become a slave to, and that good becomes the enemy of the best. For instance, hunting or fishing or camping. And it's fine to do that, but if it takes the place of God, it's wrong, it's evil. Now, there's golfing. Oh, golfing. I could never figure out golfing. I read about one golfer and the ball lit in an anthill. And he got up there and he didn't want to get too close and he swung the first time he killed 10,000 ants. Missed the ball. He swung again, he missed and killed another 10,000 ants. And then he listened. One ant was saying to the other, if we're going to survive, we better get on the ball. And they got on the ball. So that's your government. The good can become the enemy of the best. Maybe it's perfectly legitimate gardening or whatever it is. And this is telling us, don't you become a slave to anything. The third thing God tells us is, abstain from anything that appears evil. Abstain from anything that appears evil. If 1 Thessalonians 5:22, he says, abstain from all appearances of evil. How does it look to others? How does it look to me? It might be all right for me, but it might cause a weaker brother to fail, to fall. I hear these people and they're saying, well, I'm a Christian. I can live the way I want. And then they live like the dogs or the hogs or whatever you want to call it. And so maybe we do have liberty to do certain things, but if it's going to hurt our brother, it isn't serving God and honoring God, if it appears to be evil, if you can see how something can come out of it, you leave it alone. Keep it in moderation, and everything in moderation, and some things it needs to be total abstinence. Total abstinence. And when it comes to your liquor and your tobacco and the rest, it's not as a total abstinence. You don't touch it. And then the fourth thing is, we live for our neighbor's welfare. We then that are strong, in Romans 15, we just read it. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproached fell on me, on thee. And so we could put it like this, we could rephrase it. Even if we believe that it makes no difference to be to the Lord whether we do these things, still we cannot just go ahead and do them to please ourselves. We must bear the burden of being considerate of the doubts and fears of others, of those who feel these things are wrong. Let's please the other fellow and not ourselves, and do what is good for his good, and do what is good for his good, and thus build him up in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9 says, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. And so he is saying, something may be lawful and legal for you to do, but if you do them and it'll cause your brother to fall or to faint, then you ought not do them. And they had a particular problem that was taking place at that time in Corinth. And that is, they had temple worship. They had idol worship. And they brought their sacrifices to the idols. And then they offer their idols their sacrifice of meats and to the idols. And then the priests of those temples would sell them on the market, sell the meat on the market. And they sell them a cut rate price. For instance, if you went to the temple there, you could buy beautiful roast for $2 a pound. But downtown, it cost you $20 a pound. Now, we know that whether it's a priest or whatever it is, that's just all false. He can't hurt anybody. He can't hurt you. And so, sure, the Christian has a right to buy that meat if he wants to. But this is what happens. There are new Christians, young Christians coming in, and they see this pastor, or they see this man down there, and he's buying that meat offered to idols. And here they are. They have just come out of idol worship. They've been worshiping those idols. To them, those idols were their God, and they're forsaking them. And it looks like these people are patronizing these false gods, and it caused them to stumble. And Paul says, if you see something like that, then you step aside. You remember that Christian, that weak Christian. Remember, he's watching you, and you have to be careful how you live. You see, a pastor can do that. For instance, I could go into some bar and sit there and get a hamburger. But what if some of my little Sunday school boys comes and see me in that bar? Don't you see what I'm talking about? And it's legal. I can go in there, and I won't go to hell if I go in and get their hamburger, whether it's good or not. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I could go in there, but if I cause that little boy over there to stumble, and he goes to the bar, and he gets to drinking, don't you see what I'm talking about? So we have to be careful that we are an example to other people, to these Christian people, and help them in their walk. That's one of the great principles. And then the final principle that I put down, for instance, here's a verse that I had jotted down. This says, an indulgence may be ruin to someone else is not a pleasure, but it is a sin. And so he says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever, you do all to the glory of God. And so to watch out how we live and how we act. And then the final point is, live always for God's glory. He says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Paul is talking about meat offered to these idols, but he said something else. He says it's not only the weak brother, but does this bring any glory to God when you cause people to stumble? We're a stumbling block to these people, but we're a disgrace in God's sight. And he says, whatsoever in verse 17, Colossians 3:17, whatever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father for him, by him. And then in verse 23, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. When our life ends, it's all going to be one thing here. Did I stand up for the Lord? Did I honor Christ in all I did? Did I live for him to bring glory to his name? And the Bible says, if you doubt and you do it, you're damned. That is, if I do something and I doubt that I don't think it's right, I don't feel right about it. And if I do it, it's a sin. And so I have to be careful that I'm helping my brother. I am my brother's keeper. I am responsible for my brother. And I am to love my neighbor and my brother as myself. And so we have to take care of those people. And in doing that, we glorify God. We bring glory to his name. Here's a man that he could buy that meat at a cheap price, but he pays the full price because he wants to honor God. He wants to show God that he's living for him and he's not going to be a stumbling block to somebody else. That's the way we have to live. We have to love the Lord Jesus and we have to love God. And what was it, I think, Augustine who said one time, do anything you do as long as it's in God's will. Do anything you do as long as you love God. And that's what we can live. We have liberty to live, but we have to be careful we don't hurt somebody else and bring dishonor to God's name. And so today you're saying, well, I've failed on some of these things. I know I have. And so you say, I'm going to rededicate my life to the Lord. And I'm going to be more careful where I go and what I say and what I do. Because there are little eyes on us. There are people that are watching us. The men, especially the children. And you may be somebody's model. Somebody is really looking up to you. And he's watching what you're doing. Or she's watching what you're doing. What you say. How you act and where you go. And we too to the glory of God, we live for him. We give up some things that are legal. We give up some things that are lawful for us to do, but we don't do them for the sake of somebody else. And that honors God and glorifies God. So if you're a Christian, you drifted away, be like the prodigal son. Come back to the Father. He's watching for you. He's looking for you. We're told that the Father ran to meet the Son. Now in the Middle East, they never did that. The father, the elder, never went to the young. The young came to the elder. But when this father saw his son, he ran to meet him and he hugged him. And God will take you. Maybe you're a Christian. You drifted way off. You come back. And to those of you who are not a Christian, you say, yes, I want to live that life. I want the Holy Spirit to dwell in me and give me strength. I want to be an honor to God. You just pray, Jesus, please come into my heart and forgive me for my sin because I've sinned against you and I'll turn from my way. Use your own words, say it your own way, but just so you're asking him, confessing you're a sinner, asking him to take away your sin and promise to serve him and follow him. Just talk, use your own words any way you like. And if you make that prayer, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we will send you literature to help you get started in the Christian life. Or if you've been a backslider and you want to renew your vows, you write to us. We'll send you scripture and we'll send you verses to help you to get right with God and strengthen you. And then you write to us and then you send us a gift because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And James says, you have not because you ask not. So if we don't tell you we have a need, then you won't know. So we do have a need. We're not underwritten by any organization or any church or denomination or corporation. It's all in God's hands, God's people. And so as God's people give, that's the way we go. So you pray and then you give. and you send it to the Christian Worship Hour. And those of you on shortwave, you can get this down. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And if you want to get the little Bible study, you just put new song, and we'll send that. Or if you want to get the steps to peace with God, or if you want some special literature, write to us, and we'll sure help you. And always remember that all your gifts are carefully used. We're ECFA. So now I want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time we've had together with your people. We're thankful for those that are coming to you to receive you as their Savior. We just pray that as they pray, Lord, that they'll rejoice in you and have that peace of God that passes all understanding, that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, their sins are washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Help them to make that prayer in their own words. And all, we'll just thank you and praise you. And Lord, we pray for the young people today. Some of them are having awful times with the drugs and with the temptations. And help them to come to Jesus and find strength and help to beat the game, to live above these things, or to even shake them, to get out of their habits. You'll give them strength they never, ever had before. And to those on beds of sickness and shut-ins, pray for them, Lord. Help them to know that you're there, that you promise never to leave them or forsake them, and you always keep your word. Thank you in Jesus' name. So we're just glad you were with us. The Christian Worship Hour is dedicated to honoring God, sinning, bringing the lost to Jesus, and encouraging the saints of God. And so we're just so glad that you let us into your homes. We hope you'll have a good week as we trust the Lord. Maybe the Lord will come this week, and then we'll gather again next week, all around the throne of grace in heaven. God bless you. We love you in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.